now be recorded.
So reminding us about our teleconference participation process, just remember about background noise. Try to keep your phones or your computers on mute when you're not speaking by, you know, pressing the icon. Don't forget to take yourself off mute when you do speak. Please, TAC members, state your name each time you make a second to motion. And each time you speak, each person who speaks should also state their names. And please wait until you're called upon to speak so we can provide an orderly discussion. We have another person who joined by phone at call 14. If you would identify yourself, please.
Jonathan Parks.
Okay, 14 is Jonathan. All right. And I see Drew's on now. Well, since Drew's on, let's go ahead and start. I already reviewed the teleconference participation process, so let's go ahead and ensure that we have a quorum. Chairman Smith, Drew.
Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, Drew. Here. Kelly Smith-Burke. Kelly, are you here?
I'm here.
Very good. Oscar Kaya. Oscar. Bob Cushell. All right. Jan Geislers.
Here.
All right, Tim Grabowski.
Here.
Commissioner John David.
Here.
David's here. So. All right, Brian Luksic.
Here.
Jonathan Parks.
Here.
Very good. Roger Sanders. Roger's is here, I see him.
Here. Yeah, I'm here.
Very good. I got you. And David Wozniak. Is David on? All right, well, we have 9 of 11, so we have a quorum. Just checking once more to see whether Bob Cushell or David Wozniak have joined. There's a new caller, number 16. Would you identify yourself if you just joined by phone?
Bob Cushell.
Bob. Bob is number 16. And then David, are you on? All right, so we now have 10 of 11 members for the quorum. So with that, also we have our staff folks here, Justin Vogel, Tom Campbell, Melinda Donnie, Norman Bellamy, Sabrina, Evan. I believe that's the complement of staff from DBPR. And then myself, Jeff Blair, as the facilitator. So, Drew, if you'd like to go ahead and ask for what today's agenda is to provide recommendations to the Commission for code language for implementing federal energy efficiency requirements. So, Drew, if you'd like to review and have the agenda approved and then the minutes and then turn it back to me on the other part.
Yes, sir. Good morning, everyone. I'd like to get approval of the meeting agenda, please.
Geisler, so I'll make that a motion, Cushell.
All right, Geisler and Cushell, respectively.
We've got a motion and a second. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Thank you. The meeting agenda is approved. Approval of the December 2nd, 2021 meeting minutes. Do I have a motion to approve?
Motion to approve, Cushell.
Thank you, Bob.
Second, Geisler.
Thank you. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, the meeting minutes from December 2nd are approved. Thank you, Jeff. I'll turn it back over to you.
Right. So our substantive agenda item is to review staff's proposed implementation language for implementing the federal requirements for energy efficiency conservation and then to provide that recommendation to the Commission so that at the June 7th, 2022 Commission meeting, there also is a rule workshop to have the Commission implement that language. I'll turn it over to Mo, I think, right? Mo, are you handling this one?
Yes, Mo. Go ahead, Mo.
Jim, can as your screen make the presentation, please? All right. Good morning. This is Mark Medani. Can you hear me good?
We can, yes.
All right.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. First of all, as you see on the agenda, there is a number of documents posted to under item number 4. One of those items is it has to do with Title 10, Part 430, subpart Section 430.33, the preemption, which is mainly which prohibits the state from establishing energy efficiency standard for equipment that's covered by DOE. So that's the language there. The other thing is you have also we have posted is this is kind of have to rotate this is also it's mainly FR 10 CFR 430.32, which mainly published the energy efficiency standard for equipment, those covered by DOE, and this is really mainly what we'll be talking about shortly. And also, I have in posted the revised language for the code, and which we'll go over. First of all, what really caused us to do this is, as of January 1, 2023, the newly established minimum efficiency standard for residential single phase air conditioners and heat pump. Am I okay?
No, it's not coming. We're not seeing the presentation mode. It's just.
Oh yeah, it's fine. I'm just. Okay.
Let's there you go.
I will go with this one here. I'm sorry for that. Let's see. Anyway, as per 10 CFR 430.32, what's going on is that as of January 1, 2023, the newly established minimum efficiency standard for residential single phase air conditioners and heat pumps that are rated at less than 65,000 BTU will go into effect. And what makes this urgent that we have to revise the code is the way that DOE is implementing these efficiency standards. Now it's really they go on what we call regional. There's a three region established by DOE. One is Southwest, National North, and Southeast. Florida is included as in Southeast. So the way they're implementing these standards is not really is the manufacturing date. For Florida, for example, Southwest will be the date of installation. So come January 1, 2023, equipment installed has to meet the efficiency standard. So in order to really resolve any confusion in the future and make the code consistent, as of January 1, 2023, staff mainly proposing to make some changes using the glitch process to the energy code. Those changes will include changes to table C403.2.3(1), table C403.2.3(2), and form 402. So, let's see, get this out. So, those tables are tables are on the agenda, and so I'll start with table C403.2.3(1). This table provides for the minimum efficiency requirements for air conditioners and condensing units. So what we did with this table, we mainly focused on revising the those equipment, single phase AC that looks at 65,000 BTU per hour. And as you see, the for example, for the first one, less than 45,000 BTU each, the for single phase split system, the efficiency will go from 14 sieves to 14.3 by January 1, 2023. Now it's 14. As you see, the classic mainly identification or measure is somewhat different. We use SEERs under the current code, under the new efficiency, SEERs too. The reason for the difference is because of the testing procedures that established for the new for testing the new systems. The difference, I think, as I know, is that it will be one SEER. So it's like going from 14 to 15 SEERs in this case. And you see, we changed all
Sorry, Mo. Hey, folks, I need you to please mute your phones. There's some background noise, and it's interrupting Mo's presentation, so please be aware of what's going on in the background. Thank you. Sorry, Mo. Go ahead.
No problem. So, as you see in this table, we only just focused on changing the minimum efficiency rating for equipment that's less than 65,000 BTU per hour, and that's because those efficiency for those equipment will go into effect, January 1, 2023, as installed. So this is one of the table we revising. The other table is for heat pump, single phase. Same thing, we revise the same thing you see in for air-cooled heating mode, less than 65 BTU, you see the split system, single phase, it'll go from 8.2 HSPF before 1/1/2023 to 7.5 HSPF2 after January 1, 2023, and you see, so it's really, the other thing we did is the prescriptive form. The prescriptive form that we have in the code, form 402, it does have in it certain specific efficiencies for people to select. So we changed those. Mainly to update them to the new standard, as you see that the length, the changes is noted in legislative format, strike and delete. So, by the way, there is, DOE also have revised the energy efficiency standards for equipment that's larger than 65,000 BTUH, but those are the change is going into effect for only based on date of manufacturing. So by the time we reach the 2023 code, which will go into effect December 31st, 2023, those will be updated. There is a proposal submitted by the Florida Solar Energy Center to update the efficiency standards for equipment for consistency with DOE mainly standard and also ASHRAE 90.1 2019. Let's see. Also, we will be asking the vendor for the energy software to update their programs for consistency with this new efficiency. Any question? That's what I have for you today. Any question on what I've just stated?
This is about a comment, Mo.
Yes, sir.
All right, it's Koshel. And the situation has caused an almost untenable something in the air conditioning industry. The AC vendors, the Carrier, Trane, Lennox, York's guys, are going to get caught with equipment that they can't sell. They'll be expensive boat anchors because it's got a hard cutoff. In the past, they've always given us a statute of repose, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, something, in order to purge the system of the old equipment and implement the new. This is going to happen on one day, January the 1st. So the manufacturers have already cut off equipment. I can't even order it. I'll have to order the new SEER 2 equipment, but it's not being made, and I don't know what the price is. So this is causing havoc in the construction trades right now. And so it's totally caused by the federal government. If they'd have given us a statute of repose like we've had every other time we've increased the efficiency, then we'd be okay. But that didn't happen this time. It's my understanding that we really can't do anything because this is the feds, and we're going to have to approve this without, you know, we can't go against them is what I'm asking. Is that true, Mo?
Let's get our legal counsel to respond to that.
Hello, Mr. Koshel. Yes, this is Justin Vogel. Unfortunately, that is true. This is a federal regulation and statute that expressly preempts state regulation of these areas. And so, unfortunately, despite the problems that it may be causing, even if we didn't bring the code into compliance with it, it's going to be the law of the land. And so I think we don't have any choice. We have to bring the code into conformance with the federal requirements.
All right, let me give you a scenario. I have a 400-unit apartment.
Bob, excuse me. Sorry. What I want to do first, I want to find out if any of PAC members have any questions, something they don't understand about the code language. I want to take some public comment, and then we'll come back to the TAC for discussion and action.
Very good.
Thanks, Bob. Any TAC members have any questions, clarifying questions?
Jeff, can I ask a question to Mo?
Of course.
John. Mo, the SEER to the SEER 2 ratings, are they equivalent or an adjusted to be equivalent, or are they increasing? What is the difference between a SEER and a SEER 2 rating?
Okay, it's my understanding the SEER 2 comparing to the SEERs, that it has to do with the testing procedure, the new testing procedure that they implemented for this new efficiencies. What they did, they mainly account for the operational of this equipment as installed. So they're trying to differentiate between the classic and the new standard. So they added the two. Now, sure, yeah, there is an increase. For example, you know, the 14 SEERs that we have now, it will translate to 15 SEERs. So we're talking about an increase of about one SEER.
So, as an example, the SEER rating to go to 13.8, is that an increase requirement, or is that the same that it was?
That's an increased requirement comparing to the SEER. The SEER 2, if you take that, what I'm saying is that 13.8 SEER 2 correlate to 15 SEERs.
So it isn't an increase. It is an increase, right? It went from 14 to 15, right?
Yes, that, and instead of saying 40, they went with different measurements, and it's my understanding that it is an increase, you know, if you compare it to the 14 SEERs by one SEER.
Right, so I understand this is that they're increasing the SEER rating. I think you said it, now I understand it. They're increasing the SEER rating by about one to get the SEER 2.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay. Hey, Jeff, I do have a question about the ductwork, and that for a later discussion, the table above, when it talks about ducts and unconditioned attics, I do want to talk about that, but we didn't get to that yet.
Well, I think, Mo, you've reviewed everything you're going to review, correct?
This change only specific to those efficiencies. We're not going into the other subject. That's not something on the agenda. But, you know, if you have a question, you're welcome to ask, you know, me after the meeting, or I'm open for any
questions. Okay. Well, that's all I had. Thanks, Jeff.
Oscar,
go ahead.
A question and a comment. Regarding the difference between the SEER 2 and the SEER, the difference is, in the testing procedure, they are increasing the static pressure on the air handlers. So they, in the SEER standard for the testing equipment, they used to test at 0.1 static. So almost no ductwork being used. In the SEER 2, they're adding, like, I think they tested at 0.4 static or something like that, 0.5. So they're increasing the amount of ductwork that they're testing the equipment on to get a more realistic measurement of the efficiency of the unit. So that's what's involved. That's why the CO2, it will be a lower number for the same equipment, because now they're testing with, you know, 100 feet of duct or whatever it is attached to the unit. So that's the difference. And that's why, but they increase the efficiency no matter what. It's not that they're just derating it, it's they're increasing the amount of the efficiency of the unit itself at the minimum. That's one comment. The second question is, there is an equivalency between the SEER 2 and the SEER. For example, right now the minimum is SEER 14, and it's going to go up to SEER 2, 14.3. But that's it's equivalent of SEER 15. Now, my question is, why can we include in the table the SEER equivalent instead of just having SEER 2, 14.3, say SEER 15, SEER 2, 14.3? And the reason why I would like to see that is because of what Bob mentioned, is that there will be equipment that's out there that's 15 SEER right now, but hasn't been tested with the new SEER 2 standard. And you need to get it installed in a house where there's a new house, and you need to install it. If the SEER 15 is shown on the table, the local building department will approve it. If it doesn't say that, it just says SEER 2, they're going to be saying, well, it has to be rated to SEER 2 standards. So that's why I would like to see the SEER equivalent shown on the table, so that equipment that's not been rated with a new standard and sitting in a warehouse can be used. And that's the problem that Bob was mentioning.
Can I make a comment about that? I totally agree with Oscar, Mo, that maybe, because people are going to look at that SEER 2 and think it's the old SEER, so I think it needs to be better defined.
I think we have to be careful here. I think it has to do how the equipment will be labeled. You know, the equipment will be labeled based on the new rating. It will say 14.3 SEERs R2. Now, there is nothing, I did not find anything in the Act which provides with the correlation or say, this is what you do. What you need to have in the code is, it should be consistent with what's really how the units will be rated. Now, can we allow is the 15 SEERs out there that's already in existence equal? I don't know. All I can tell you is, you know, based on my understanding, reading literature, a lot of people say, well, you know, it's what we're talking about is one SEER increase, 14 to 15. Now, the building official, maybe under alternate material methods and under other option, could allow the, you know, units that 15 SEERs that, you know, but again, we have to be careful. We need to stick with the federal mandate, the federal standards, and I don't know how, you know, I don't see room there to be able to include some kind of equivalency. I'll leave it to Justin, maybe can weigh on this, but I think we ought to stick with the standard, minimum efficiency standard established by DOE at this time.
Justin, would you like to comment?
I don't really have a whole lot to comment. I mean, if Mo is saying that it would be difficult to sort of show that there's some equivalency, or if the federal guidelines don't provide for an allowance for using this old method of, from what I understand, I guess, establishing the efficiency of these devices, then I agree with Mo that it sounds like it could be kind of potentially perilous to go and insert that in. I don't know if it's necessarily not allowed, but that would be kind of a technical reading on Mo's part that I would probably rely on him and sort of defer to him on.
Yeah, the reason why I brought it up is because all manufacturers that I know, Lennox, Carrier, Goodman, you name it, they have come out with their summary of the new requirements, and in all cases, all manufacturers are saying that the SEER 2 14.3 minimum is the same as, equal to SEER 50, current SEER 15. So they must have had that number from somewhere. So I think it's up to, maybe it's up to the manufacturers to come up with where do they base that, those numbers from. And if we can get that back by the DOE, then we should be okay in showing it. But I think it's the only way they're gonna be able to get rid of all this equipment that's been manufactured and is sitting out there, and you know, they're gonna have to eat it. Maybe we should do that. Maybe we should contact. I'll make a couple phone calls and find out. Can we do that?
Oscar, I'll try, but I think I'll try and see if there is any such a statement or equivalent established by DOE, and I'll try to see if there is any information out there. I think the way they implemented this new efficiency is different than what we have experienced before, where they go with the data manufacturer, and which is allowed in at least 2 years, a lot of time, for the equipment that's already manufactured to be used. So that's really kind of new twist from the federal.
I think at this point, as you're saying, it's fairly clear that the federal government has determined that they want the new equipment tested to the new standard. So there isn't an equipment to be provided by them. So you're certainly welcome to do research and see whether there's any flexibility there. But at this point, this is the requirement that, you know, the commission by law would need to implement. All right, is there any other questions from TAC members?
Jeff, really quick, the method of calculating SEER 2 is different than SEER. So it's not an apples to apples comparison. There's a different test method. So,
right.
So that could be the issue.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. That's the big issue.
That's correct.
But based on what was provided by, you know, by the federal rule, or it's clear that this is, you know, this is what they want done for whatever the reason. All right. Any other questions? All right. Then I'm going to see if there's any public comment. I need to hear your name, and then I need to limit the comments to no more than 3 minutes. Anybody from the public wish to comment?
Yes. Hi, Jeff. Rolando here from Broward County. A question for Mr. Mutani.
Go ahead, Rolando.
In if I understand correctly, in let me make an statement first. In previous energy efficiency transitions, like Oscar was saying, the contractors and suppliers and install equipment that was in stock. Is the federal government saying that that's not going to be the case now, that any equipment that is installed after a certain date has to meet the CO2?
No.
That's correct. As installed, that's why we, you know, as a staff, when we looked at this issue, we felt that it is very important that we, start this soon, make the code consistent, because, come January 1, 2023, installed equipment has to meet this efficiency. So you're right.
Okay, thank you.
Any other public comment?
Yes, I have a question. This is Pete Della here. Let me rephrase what Orlando has said in another point of view. So if you have a project that's in the work, it's going to take 2 years. Permits have already been issued, and yet you haven't completed the project. You can still use the units that were approved at the time the project was approved, correct? Or do you have to install these units at the moment to the SCR2?
Well, this is Marmagani. Based on my understanding, based on what this law says, it doesn't really take in consideration permitting or when it applies for a permit. That's a Florida building code, revision. The Fed says that's equipment availability and testing. So, yeah, well, come January 1, 2023, you can only install this equipment that meets this efficiency. There is no such thing as, going back to our permits and all that, and when the permit was applied for. I have not seen any of this in the regulation. So, to answer your question, I think come January 1, 2023, is my understanding you have to install equipment that meets this in new efficiency, regardless of what you have in your application and the permit.
That makes it really even worse. I mean, the contractor that already sold the job, he can't find the unit, so he's going to have to take the loss and go up to a greater SCR. Wow.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yep. Welcome, Pete. Any other public comments?
Yeah, this is Tim DeCarion.
One second, Tim. Joe Belcher's first, and I'll get you next. Joe?
Joe Belcher, FHVA. Based on the comments from Oscar, Bob, and Pete, I think we really need to make kind of serious effort to contact the feds and get some clarification. I don't even think the feds would go that far, but you never know. I think we need to make serious effort from the commission to get some clarification and maybe even some change somehow. Thank you.
All right, Timothy, go ahead.
Yeah, Chapter 5 existing addresses changeouts, and how would this apply to changeouts? Same way?
Same way. I don't see any difference. It has to do with the equipment itself and installed. I didn't see in the law where there is an exception for changeout. Sure, we can see, if there's any clarification from DOE about this. I'll try to get some information. I understand your concern, guys, and that's why we brought this to you soon, before January 1, 2023.
Thank you.
All right. All right. Any other public comment? All right. I'm going to come back to the tax. So, understanding that there's a desire to have some clarification, which Mo will look into. What we'd be looking for is a motion to recommend that the commission adopt the draft code language pursuant to Section 553.73(8) Florida statute to update the Florida Building Code 7th Edition 2020. To include the U.S. Department of Energy's new HVAC efficiency requirements as proposed by DBPR staff and to proceed with rulemaking for Rule 61G20-1.001, Florida Building Code adopted. That's the motion that we would need to bring to the Commission for Rule Development. Back members, if someone wants to, would make the motion, that would be helpful.
Do we have a motion, folks?
I thought, this is Roger Sanders, and I thought that we just tabled the discussion that Bob Bozell had brought up regarding the...
Roger, we haven't tabled that discussion. What's going to happen is Mo is going to seek some clarification from the Department of Energy on some of these issues, such as existing equipment timelines, such as change-outs and intention, or such as correlation between the two
right.
Testing methods, and then report back. But in the interim, we need to proceed forward with rulemaking to meet the federal requirements.
Okay. What is the motion you're looking for?
To recommend that the Commission adopt the draft code language pursuant to Section 553.73, Part 8, Florida Statutes, FJ Florida Building Code 7th Edition 2020, to include the Department of Energy's new HVAC efficiency equipment as proposed by DPR staff, and to proceed with rulemaking Rule 61G20-1.001, Florida Building Code adopted.
For discussion, I'll make that move.
Motion.
I move that we adopt that.
Thank you, Roger. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Kelly Smith Burke is second. So we have a motion and a second on the table.
Okay. Let's call for a vote. All those in favor? Say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed?
Aye.
So we have one opposed.
Right. So right. We come in at a 9-1. The motion passes. So in addition, I think if someone wants to make them, I think you know I probably don't have to do it this way. But I was just making a motion that Mo seek clarification from the Department of Energy regarding. Using existing equipment for permitted projects, equivalency of the ratings, the testing, and change outs and other items along those lines, and then report back.
So I'd like to make that motion. And just by the way, I'm looking at a document sent to me by Carrier, and it says in the Southeast region, and it talks about the labels that are going to be on the units, you cannot use a unit that has an old label, you know, with a SEER rating, except if it says 15 SEER or higher. So they're showing you that, yes, you can use that equipment with that label with the SEER, not SEER 2, but SEER. So there must be something from the DOE that allows them to put this out. And this is what we would like Mo to find out or somebody to make that.
This is Roger Sanders, I second.
All right, Drew, we have a motion to second on our second motion.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, motion carries.
All right. I think that concludes our business for today, then. Is there any other public comment or any other comment?
Koshel, I'm back at it. This is the most expensive thing that we've ever done as an energy tax. The SEER 2 business is, because the contracts are out there, the manufacturers do not have SEER 2 equipment, and that means if they don't have the indoor and outdoor matching units, we've got trouble. And I'm eager to hear from Mo.
I would like to make, regarding that, With today's supply line problems, a lot of the builders that I work for, the national builders, are pre-ordering equipment way ahead of the test. So we are storing equipment, in some cases in our warehouses, or in the job site, the builders like Lennar and Quality, for example, we have storage full of equipment that they're buying ahead because of the problems with chips and everything else. This would stop this process, and there will be problems with equipment later on.
Right. Just to be clear, regarding Bob Koschel's comment, that EnergyTAC is not actually doing the most expensive thing done. This is all the EnergyTAC is doing is what's required by federal law. So it's not a decision the EnergyTAC is making to implement this. All they're doing is what's required by federal law. Just to be clear about that.
Yeah, this is Mohamed Dani too. I agree with, you know, what Jeff said. Mainly, all what we're doing here is we're trying to make it straight with the Fed. Now, what's really there and what allowance is there and all that, we will find out. So, I don't think we have a choice in this case but to revise our code. Otherwise, we'll have a problem coming January 1, 2023.
Right. Certainly everybody is sympathetic to the issues. They're good issues, and Mobile will vet those at DOE and find out what flexibility or what options there might be going forward. But as we proceed, we need to proceed with what the federal law requires the commission to do in the interim.
Jeff, this is Mo. I think I would ask anybody from the group, if you have any information credible, to please do forward it to me. On the allowances or equivalencies or whatever published by DOE, but I will contact DOE at the same time and make sure see if we can get some clarification on that.
Great. All right. Okay. Is there any other comments?
Yes, I have another comment. We also spoke, I don't know if this is pertinent, but we also spoke about modifying the software, the energy gauge or the other manufacturers, RightSoft, who do the energy calculation for 405 in the residential side, to adjust these minimums for the code. So if I submit a permit in March of next year, this minimum SEERs will be the ones in the base house that is used for the software calculation. Am I correct?
Correct.
So any energy calculation that was submitted before would still be valid if it's already permitted or submitted a permit. But any new permit will have to require a adjusted software program. There'll be a new program coming up. Is that correct?
Yeah, the next step is to work with the vendor. And we'll hope that the vendors will provide for an update to their program. So yes, I've talked to the Florida Solar Energy Center with regard to energy gauge, and they're aware of the situation and assuming they'll provide an update. They're waiting for the rule to go into it to be implemented in this case to be able to do the change.
All right, then Drew, I think you're ready to go ahead and adjourn us.
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, everyone, for your time today. We have a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn, Oscar.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Have a good day.
Thank you.
This conference is no longer being recorded. Thank you.